You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
By the end of the sermon, I'm going to tell you the secret of the... It's called the levity stick. It defies gravity. I've done it probably hundreds of times with groups. Every time, it just goes up instead of down. And if you work at it, there is a way. It takes groups about 20 minutes or 30 minutes to actually work really hard to get it down. But I'm going to tell you the secret to it by the end of the sermon, hopefully. If I don't, remind me. Say, what's the secret? Let's go back to the text now that Kim read. A couple of people dealing with grave situations. Some somber situations. And these two stories that Kim read are tied together with this older woman and this young girl by the number 12. In the Bible, the number 12 is very significant. 12 tribes, 12 disciples. And in that worldview, 12 was a number of completeness. It's total, the total package, total, 12, complete. And so you think about this woman who had what King James says, an issue of blood, hemorrhaging. Her life blood was flowing out for 12 long years. The symbolism of that is that she was spent totally. Completely. She was like, you know, a cast member in World War Z. I mean, she was a walking zombie, walking dead. She was just walking around with her life drained out of her. Completely. 12. Totally. The weight of the world had gotten her down as she was totally drained. And so she goes and she touches just the hem of his garment, Jesus. She knew that there was a force around her greater than all the heaviness that had weighted her down, that had drained her life completely for 12 years. There was a life force around, and if she could just touch it, access that power, it would be defying gravity. All the graveness of her situation, all the gravity that was weighing her down, if she could just touch it, there would be a levity, there would be a lightness, there would be a restoration of life. So she made her way through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and noticed that Jesus knew somebody touched. Lord, everybody's touching you. They're just like cranberry. No, I felt some power being accessed. And this woman who had been totally, totally drained by the gravity of life, she accessed the levity. She defied gravity. And then Jesus makes his way to this girl, 12 years old. In Hebrew culture, that was the transition age. It's when, you know, the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah happens, because this is, you know, they didn't really have adolescence back in the day. You went from innocent childhood into adulthood, age 12. And so here is the death of innocence. Here's the death of childhood. It's the total, the number 12, the total symbolism. It's total tragedy. This is not supposed to happen. She's supposed to have a life ahead of her. She didn't get a chance to live. This is total tragedy. And so Jesus went into her room and he, again, just touched her and spoke, "Girl, rise." And there was that power to defy gravity. It wasn't her time to go to the grave. This was her time to rise up and live. And so she accessed that presence, that power of God, and the weight of the world was suddenly off her shoulders. And barba arriba, chin up, she was able to rise up. And Jesus then kind of did that secret thing. There's a secret to this. I don't want you to tell anybody. I'll tell you at the end of the sermon the secret, but for now, let's just keep the secret. You've got a secret. We've all got a secret. We're going to hold it here for a few minutes. Jesus' touch defies gravity. I think we can kind of live into the story of this woman and this girl if we think about our own lives and sort of catalog the times when the weight of the world has weighed heavy on our shoulders. Weighs heavy on my shoulders a lot of Sunday mornings. I'll get here and Karen's husband, David, will say, "Hey, Stan, shoulders, stand up." And I'll have to remember, oh, yeah, something's been kind of weighing me down. But you can think about your own life and all the things. There's so many heavy things in this world, things that we all experience. Let me ask you a question. People of faith, does your being a person of faith make you immune from any of the heaviness of life? Does somehow, because we're people of faith, these kind of grave situations, we just don't touch the gravity of the world? We're not immune to any of it, right? It happens. And so you think about your own life and think about the things that have weighed you down. You can think about chronic illness. Maybe like that woman, 12 long years. There are people who have been dealing with chronic pain and suffering. for weeks, days, months, years on end. We can think about the heaviness of mental anguish, people who have been traumatized, who've suffered abuse or other kind of traumas in life or warfare, and they come back and there's this heaviness weighing them down, this gravity. It's just keeping them weighed down. We can think about chronic depression that many of us have dealt with. And we just know that, gosh, it just feels so heavy. Life's so heavy in the morning. Feels like a weight on our chest. It's hard to get out of bed. We can think about experiences that happen to us in life, failures that we've failed relationships or job losses. We can think about our experience in poverty when we've had to, you know, we've had to scrounge for our food and drink. We can think about the heaviness of addiction. We could go on and on, and that's just Monday. You know, wait till Tuesday comes around, and there's a whole nother list. We know it, right? We know about the heaviness. I think about, even in, you know, you can't even get into the Christmas carol singing without talking about this. There's this Christmas carol, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," that has this verse. It kind of reminds us of how this stuff weighs us down. It says, "O ye beneath life's crushing load, who toil the climbing way." Doesn't that sound like a cheery Christmas carol? "Oh, ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow." We sing that at Christmas because it's true. You know, even at times, maybe especially at times like that, we can feel the weight of the world. It goes on to give the good news. "Look now for glad and golden hours. Come swiftly on the ring, on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." But we know the truth, at least to that first part, the life's crushing load part. And we can sometimes get the idea that the secret is in that adage that misery loves company. We all experience it, right? Of course, company doesn't always like misery. I have to remember that. You know, I don't want to always just be bringing my misery into the company. But misery loves company. A friend of mine, Gene Cotton, wrote a song about this. And it was a favorite when I was doing youth ministry. And I'm going to teach it to you, just a simple chorus, kind of the secret for him. This is not the secret, but this is what many people think is the secret. It's like, we're all in it together. It's called, "Everybody Rolls a Bad Stone." And very simple chorus, I'll teach it to you. It goes, "Everybody rolls a bad stone. Everybody picks a bad bone. So don't feel like you're all alone. No. Everybody rolls a bad stone." So let's try that together. Very simple. "Everybody rolls a bad stone. Everybody picks a bad bone. Everybody rolls a bad stone. Everybody picks a bad bone. So don't feel like you're all alone. No, everybody rolls a bad stone. My mother died in a car wreck today. My father died in a plane crash on the way to attend the funeral of my sister who died last week. Oh, me. My little brother went and ate some pills last night. The doctor said his brain went out like a light. Somebody squashed my cat on the road yesterday. What do you say? Well, everybody rolls a bad stone. Everybody picks a bad bone. So don't feel like you're all alone. No, everybody rolls a bad stone." Tammy, you'll like this one. "Well, the IRS is on the telephone. They say there ain't no way they're gonna leave me alone till I give them all the money I forgot for the last 10 years. Oh dear. My dog just puked on the rug and died. I just found out both my parents had lied. They left all their money to the boy who used to live next door. What's more, in the will they told me that I really wasn't their kid. They were very sorry that they ever did bring me home from the zoo that very first day long ago. Oh no, well, everybody rolls a bad stone. Everybody picks a bad bone. So don't feel like you're all alone. No, everybody rolls a bad stone." We might think that's the secret. We're all in it together. We all have experienced misery and misery loves company. But it's not the secret. The secret, I'll come back to it, of this defying gravity. There were two rules. Who remembers the two rules? You have to always be touching. You have to always be in touch. Keep contact. Because if I hadn't had that rule, it would have been easy because they could have just dropped, and some of them might have kept hold of it and some of them not. It could have just dropped it to the floor very easily. But they had to maintain contact. Second rule was they had to just let it rest. There was no control. They couldn't grab hold and control. That would have been easy to take it to the grave. We could have gotten into the gravity really easy if they had just taken control and lowered it to the ground. Think about spiritually. The way to defy gravity is to follow those two rules. Stay connected. Don't lose contact. We're here and we call ourselves, Scripture tells us that we call ourselves the body of Christ. By being a member of this body, we're staying connected. We're in relationship. A relationship based on grace and love and hope. It's a relationship among people who suffer many things, but have a power, access to a power deeper than all the suffering, more powerful than all the suffering, a joy, a hope, a grace, a love that's deeper than all the loss and tragedy and addiction that we experience in our lives. And so it's staying connected. And as we stay connected to each other, as we stay in relationship, we are staying connected to the body of Christ. And that's where the power is. It's what that woman found out. She said, here's the body of Christ coming through our midst. If I can just touch, then there'll be a power that will bring me back to life. Barbara Reba, I'll be able to stand up and feel life again. And she did. Think about your own life. Have you ever gone through suffering and you found the ministry of grace by being in relationship with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? Has it ever happened to anybody? We talk a lot, Stephen asks a lot, where have you seen ecclesia this week? Have you ever experienced that ecclesia of having some heavy things, some weighty things, some things that you couldn't carry by yourself, but somehow it gave you some life. You accessed some life-giving strength and power by knowing that you're in a relationship with people who love you, who are praying for you, who are holding you up, who are helping you carry the load. Right? Makes me stand up a little bit straighter. When I look around and I see these people, I know this is my family, this is the body of Christ, I'm staying connected. If we get disconnected, it's easy to just, by ourselves, on our lonesome, go into the grave. Kind of walk, the walking dead, one foot in the grave. We can feel that. We can be like those professional mourners in the Jesus story that Kim read about. We can all do a pity party, right? I know how to do that. If I kind of get isolated on my own, I know how to cry a pity party. But when I'm connected to the body of Christ. Second rule, I think equally important. Sometimes when we're connected, we want to control that body. We want to manipulate it. We want to take it where we think it's supposed to go. That's really the essence of fundamentalism. Is like, okay, I've got it, and I'm going to control it. And I'm going to tell everybody else where it's going to go. And I want to just grab hold, and I want to take it, and I want to take charge. I want to be the captain of this ship. I want to be the guide, so let me take control of that power. That doesn't work. Whenever we take control, whenever we grab hold and we want to start manipulating and exploiting it and guiding it and directing that power, it's another way of just making sure, yeah, we can get into the gravity. Then that gets grave, that gets heavy. You've probably experienced times when people have kind of brought that energy into your life. When you thought, oh, this is great, I've got faith, but then somebody says, no, you have it the wrong way. You're not believing right. You've got to believe like I believe. You need to go where I'm telling you to go. Does that lighten your load? It kind of weights us down some more. So you've got to let go. So take your hands right now and form a fist. Just imagine, okay, I know the truth, and I've got it right here, and I'm going to tell everybody else this is where it's at, and I'm going to show them where it's going to go. And kind of get into the posture of gravity. You got the weight of the world on you. You've got a hold of it. And your shoulders. You can just sort of feel the weight of the world. And now, open your hands. Release. Breathe out. Release all that need to control. That need to be in control. And breathe in some trust. I don't know about you, but I really don't trust myself to know enough to be able to hold on to the truth. I know myself well enough to know I don't want to be the guide. I don't want to be the captain of this ship. But I know that I trust God. So it's in that release, that breathing in trust, and breathing out that need to control, that fundamentalism, that need to tell everybody else this is how you got to do it. Release. And then, with those two rules, if we're staying in contact, if we're staying in membership with each other, with the body of Christ, in this relationship of grace and mercy and love and hope and encouragement, if we're staying connected with open hands, with a sense of release, it's real hard to get grave. I mean, this is where, like last night, we were out on the dance floor dancing. Daniel can do the cha-cha really well. I mean, there was no sense of gravity last night out on the dance floor. Linda, Karen, all these, you know, Brenda. That's the sense. That's a secret. That's the sense of life in the Spirit. Does it mean that none of us have any heavy things in our lives? We all got heavy things. We got pains. We got sufferings. We got mental anguish. We got worries. But we have access to a power. Touching the power of Jesus. Being connected. And releasing control. This is the secret. I think what makes my experience of being at Ecclesia such a beautiful thing. And I hope it is for you. And for visitors, I hope you can kind of sense this is a place where it's an open community where we invite other people to come and touch and to be a part and to access this sense of hope, this power of hope and joy and peace and mercy and grace. It reminds me of this song. I think this is a Defying Gravity song. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. You know that song? Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Reach out and touch the person next to you. Put a hand on a shoulder, touch a hand. And then sing this. When I was crying, somebody touched me. When I was crying, somebody touched me. When I was crying, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Anybody tend to worry? When I was worrying, somebody touched me. When I was worrying, somebody touched me. When I was worrying, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Anybody had a loss in their life where you've experienced grief? When I was grieving, somebody touched me. When I was grieving, somebody touched me. When I was grieving, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Anybody felt like at times you're like that woman after bleeding for 12 years that you just feel spent? You just feel like the walking dead. Anybody felt like that in your life? When I was dying, somebody touched me. When I was dying, somebody touched me. When I was dying, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Oh, glory, glory, somebody touched me. Must have been the hand of the Lord. Isn't it great to be able to defy gravity? There's some laws of this world. Gravity is one of them. But it's great to be a member of a body and to be able to touch that power, to be able to defy gravity. Let's pray. Gracious God, we're thankful for your glorious presence in our midst with a power that defies all of the grave places in our lives. We acknowledge that there are troublesome times that we go through. Pain and suffering, sickness, addiction, depression, worries, worries about our jobs and our money, worries about life, worries about our family. It can get heavy. It can be crushing. So we just lift them up to you right now and we just acknowledge that you are strong enough to bear them all. So lighten our load. Lift our spirits. Give us the peace that passes all understanding of this world. And keep us connected. Help us to have enough trust in our lives to relinquish all control. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.